Good morning.
Good morning.
The scripture reading is from Isaiah chapter 53, verses 1 through 6. If you're looking at the Bibles under the benches, it's on page 652. Who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness, and when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned, everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid upon him the iniquity of us all.
Good morning. It's good to see you this morning. Happy that you're here. I'm not sure if we have visitors with us today. If we do, we're delighted that you've come out this Lord's Day to worship with us. Unusual times, are they not?
Amen.
And it should remind us how much we need to rely and put our faith and our trust in the Lord, most definitely. So in case you've been living in a cave or hiding under a rock somewhere out in the middle of the desert, there is this thing that's going around called the coronavirus, and it has altered our lifestyle enormously. Friends, I would submit to you that there is something far more deadlier than the coronavirus, and it is sin. This morning, I would like for us to compare the two for our lesson. When we talk about the coronavirus, you can't turn on the TV or turn on the radio without hearing something about it. And again, our way of life has totally been altered. You read the captions on the TV guide. Yesterday I went to try to watch a little bit of PGA golf, and I saw a replay of last year's golf. So I turned over as a nice little redneck that I am to try to watch a little NASCAR. And didn't see any NASCAR. Saw the same report on the coronavirus. So it's everywhere. We see it, we hear about it, and it is everywhere. This virus, as you're well aware, was first identified in Wuhan, China, in December of 2019. The CDC, when we talk about to this coronavirus with regards to what it stands for, and that COVID, COVID-19, it comes to us when we talk about this virus. It emerged, again, the numbers 19, and it began as a novel virus. And it has made its way to us, and that's what the acronyms basically stand for, is it's a novel COVID virus that began in 2019. It was a novel strain, is according to them. Scientists gave this strain an interim name, the 2019 lowercase n, capital C, lowercase OV, and it accounts for the year of its discovery. But that's just a little bit about the name of it. As already stated, it originated in China. Specifically, it is found in animals like camels, bats. It has the ability to mutate and transfer from one animal to another, but also especially, they say, to humans, and then from humans to other humans. Now, according to the NPR, the first known case in December 2019, they were traced back to a market, an animal market in the Chinese city of Wuhan. And folks came in contact with it, and some even say they were eating bat soup, and it was infected, and people were becoming contagious and what have you. You're going to read a lot of things. You're going to see a lot of things. But I'm just sharing with you the latest information that that I have been able to dig up. Let's talk a little bit about its symptoms. Its symptoms are the fever, dry cough, fatigue, diarrhea, shortness of breath. Now, I know that I've had a cough since 2018. You all know that. So if I got corona, I got King Corona. You know, I've had this for a while. So, and it's interesting because when you go out in public and you cough, everybody just, you know, he's contagious. You know, and you do. That's just the way we are. You know, oh man, just, you know, keep your distance.
Allergies.
Right. Good point, Bob. Allergies. that's right. I like that. But these are its symptoms. What is its risk? What is its risk? Well, anyone can contract it, but it takes a toll on those whose immune systems are already compromised. A lot of elderly folks, those who have respiratory issues, those who are really sick. Because it takes the life out of you if you're living a life that is already compromised of good health. The World Health Organization Emergency Committee on the coronavirus said on January 22nd at a news conference that nearly 3/4 of the cases have been in people of the age of 40 and over. Cases who've died, many had signified underlying conditions like coronavirus disease and diabetes. And it's of the corona family. When you go back and you study this, it is of the corona family. But NPR makes that analogy and that reporting at this exact moment with regards to death. And again, as I throw out numbers, look, You Google and you go to the internet and you start looking for numbers, they're going to be over the chart, okay? So the latest figure that I've got is about 57, close to 60 deaths in the United States with regards to the coronavirus. So that's the latest. And again, there could be maybe a tad more than that, but that's what we have right now. Now, I'm not a doctor. I've not even played one on TV. But to help us keep this in perspective, folks, according to the CDC, again, when we're looking at just numbers, you look from October of last year to the current time, you see anywhere between, I've seen 16,000 deaths in the United States relating to the flu to as high as 50,000. Now, and the reason for that is, why? Why such a despairing number? Between 16,000 and 50,000 is because influenza can provoke organs to shut down, heart failure, other things. And maybe on your death certificate, not your death certificate, a death certificate, it might read heart failure. But that catalyst or the thing that provoked it was the flu, you see. So it varies. But that's, you know, it's a lot of deaths, you know. And we're talking about in the United States. With regards to folks that who are dying as a result of the flu. Let's talk about the cure. Is there a cure for corona? The answer is no. You see, I think that's the thing that's so scary right now. I was listening to some health professionals talk about this the other day on television, and they said, you know, it could take a year before we get a vaccine that we can create for the coronavirus, a whole year. So that leads us up to what are we to do? How can we avoid the coronavirus? Everybody will tell you, and we've already manifested it this morning with the Lord's Supper. You know, some of you, I see, are giving elbow pumps and fist pumps. And now we don't even do that. We just kind of give an air high five, you know, an air hug, you know. But here's what it boils down to, seriously. Is cleanliness. Isn't that what we teach our kids? I mean, we've been taught that from the day we were born, right? You know, I know one of the big things, you know, I'll just say it, with regards to water fountain. Don't let your lips touch the... You've heard that before, right? And there's truth to that. You know, but we're very cognizant of the fact that, hey, look, you know, we've got to be clean. We've got to wash our hands. We've got to just use good judgment on hygiene and cleanliness. And that's what we're being told. This is a great lesson for our children right now, especially for this. That I guarantee you, when they're your age, they're my age, someday they're going to look back and they're going to remember. You know, hey, look, this was a lesson. And just, hey, wash your hands. Make sure, you know, you're clean. Don't be foolish. So this is what we are told with regards to how to avoid it and to minimize the risk. Let me ask you something. What is its cost financially? I mean, obviously death. You know, there's people dying from it. People are being hospitalized. But financially... billions of dollars. You know, I was telling you earlier, as I turned on the television to sit down and watch a little of entertainment, you know, we're running reruns. We're looking at reruns right now. You think about the impact that this has made. Times like this can bring out the best in people. I've seen folks, hey, look, calling and checking and making sure you've got what you need. Are you okay? Church, if there's any group of people that should be doing that, that should be us. That should be us. Checking on everybody. Just don't assume. Just do the right thing. Check on folks. Make sure they're okay. They've got what they need. But sometimes, Archie, it brings out the worst in us. You know, I'm hoping this was a joke. Someone advertised the other day $10 for a roll of toilet paper, $5 for half a roll. I'm assuming that was probably a joke. I had seen that on Facebook. You know, the smart aleck that I am, I thought about saying, yeah, I'll meet you. Meet me at Walmart parking lot and let you set for a while. I won't show up. But anyway, you know, it can bring up the worst in us, can't it? You know, people are gouging with prices. You see that. You know, you see that. Like any and all crisis, folks, listen to me. This will pass. This, too, will pass. It will pass. Let me say this before I look at our comparison chart with the coronavirus versus sin. I'm going to say this with much confidence. The coronavirus will not be the final nail in the coffin of mankind. It will not. Do you know how I know that? I know that because the Bible tells me that the earth, according to what Peter was writing there in 1 Peter chapter 3, or 2 Peter chapter 3, the earth is going to be destroyed in verse 10 by fire. Okay? Corona is not going to take us. Okay, the Lord will come back for us. And the Bible also teaches us that God is in control and that He has never relinquished His power. Did you know that? We've got to remember that through any crisis. God is in control. He has never relinquished His power. Our faith, our trust, our hope is in Him. Psalm 18, verse 30 and Psalm 145, verse 13. That's where your faith needs to be. In God. Now, let's switch tracks. I want to share a virus with you that is much more deadlier than corona. Friends, it is the sin virus. You know, it originated, you have your Bibles there in Genesis in chapter 1 through 3. We are just in awe, we're amazed in Genesis in chapter 1 when we just see how awesome God is. That all God has to do is speak and things come into existence. Here's the universe. God speaks and here it is. And 6 days. We see God having man's best interest in mind and takes that man, places him in a utopia on earth. We call it the Garden of Eden. We see it in the Scriptures. God had given man everything he needed. And then what was lacking God completes man by bringing woman to him and creating woman. Genesis in chapter 3, that sneaky snake comes by, tempts Eve. He challenges God's authority. Has God told you this? Anytime anyone ever puts you in a position where you find yourself doubting God's word, you need to run. Doubting what God said. You need to just run. Has God told you this? You'll not die. You'll be like God. That's what Satan says. I want to share something with you. I've never heard anyone say this before. I got to thinking about this. I thought, you know what? When Adam and Eve were innocent, they were already like God. Did you know that? Think about it. When Adam and Eve were in that innocent state, they were already like God. They didn't need anything else. Isn't that amazing how Satan can take you from a safe place in the Lord and take you by lies, deception, deceit, take you to a place that is so far removed from God. Eve began to compromise what God said. She took a different view of the forbidden fruit. Hey, it looks good. I bet that tastes good. You know what? It can make me great. Those things have never changed today. Did you know that? With regards to Satan's tactic in tempting us, it looks good. I bet it is good. And you know what? I bet I can go places. I bet I can do things. Adam and Eve partake of that forbidden fruit, and sin enters into the world. Let me ask you something. With regards to your sin, who's responsible for your sin? Now, I know I'm with Bible students here today, and I know your answer to that. Ultimately, you know you're responsible for your sin. Now, if you were to go and you were to ask the average man, the average woman, who really doesn't know the Bible, and you share with them the story I just shared with them, they'll say to you, the devil is responsible for your sin. No, he's not. I mean, sin came into the world, but I'm going to tell you, Adam and Eve had a choice, folks. Did you know that? As a matter of fact, the devil never hijacked their free will. He never hijacked their free will. You have to partake of this. You have to do this. That's not what happened. That's not what happened. Allergies. Thank you, Don. You see, according to Ezekiel chapter 18, and there you begin reading in Ezekiel's God's message there in verse 20, God tells us the soul that sins dies. The father cannot inherit the sin of the son, or vice versa. You are responsible for your sins. Oh, there are other things and other people that may help you sin along the way, but you are responsible for your sins. What are its symptoms? According to 1 John chapter 3 and verse 4, transgression against law is sin. Transgression against law. John didn't have in mind the Old Testament law. You see, the Christians lived under a new covenant. They lived under New Testament law, Christ's law of love and faithfulness. There was definitely a new covenant. Hebrews chapter 8, 9, and 10, you see that. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13, and Colossians in chapter 2 and verse 14. Man was translated when he became obedient to Christ and to his kingdom. And that old handwriting, those old laws were nailed to the cross. Folks, when we throw off restraints of law, guess what? It's rebellion. You know what? You know what a lawbreaker looks like, don't you? I'm assuming that most of us we obey the speed limit. Now, I get accused of driving like an old man. That's just wrong to say that about somebody, because I know a lot of old men that drive real fast, you know. Ever been passed by someone in a 35 mile per hour speed zone? And man, you could swear, I think they're doing 60. They're doing 65. And they don't have their four-way flashers on, Archie. They're just, that dude better slow down. You ever said that before? I mean, you know what a lawbreaker looks like. These are challenging times for us. If things get much worse, I mean, it's bad now. You go into a supermarket and you try to look around you, and it's like, go to the toilet paper aisle. Right? There ain't nothing there. Right? All of a sudden, plan B is, where's the napkins? You think I'm joking? I've been there. You know? Where's the Kleenex section? All right? Did you find yourself going out to the restaurant grabbing a few more napkins and stuffing them in your purse? I'm not joking. You know, this is what we're doing. Right? I mean, things have changed for us. And things are a little different. But we know what rebellion looks like. We see it. Well, its symptoms are there. There is a cure. You know, that was read for us this morning. Ron read for us from Isaiah chapter 53 about Jesus. There was nothing beautiful in him. We retreated from him. There was nothing about us when we look at Jesus that says, now this is the man with the plan and he's got the answers. Look at Isaiah 53. But more than the man's image, look at his message. And look at what he did for man. He took on our sins. He took on your sins. Your sin virus that came into this world, the world changed. We sin. Jesus is the answer for our sin virus. Thank God for that. By His stripes, through His stripes, we were healed. We were healed. Now, how can I avoid the sin virus? Well, the cure comes in Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Peter tells them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Our sins are remitted. Our sins are washed away. But do you know Peter goes on when he writes about this, and I want you to be able to make this connection and see this distinction. In 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 21, he essentially says the same thing. Sometimes one of the greatest disservices we do to ourselves is we provide a chapter break. And I don't think that if you read this as one big section, you'll see what Peter is trying to say to us, what God is trying to say to us. Look at verse 21. He says, in 1 Peter chapter 3, the like figure whereunto even baptism does now also save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but an answer of a good conscience towards God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who is gone into heaven, and he's at the right hand of the angels and authorities and powers, being made subject unto them. For as much then as also Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind. For he that suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. That he no longer should live as the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. Do you see how things are changing from the time that your sins were washed away in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 21? Your sins have been washed away. Peter even tells us, baptism saves you. You have a good, clean conscience. Your sins have been washed away. And then he makes a transition to how you should live. Look at verse 2. No longer should you live the rest of his time in this flesh, the lust of men, but to do the will of God. From times past of our life, many suffice us to work the will of the Gentiles when we walk in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, abominable idolatries, where they think that it's strange that you don't run with them in the same excess of rioting. They speak evil of you. They'll give an account of him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. Do you see a difference? What is it that Peter is telling us from the time you're baptized to what we see now? He says, just as we encourage with regards to this virus, good, clean living. Good, clean living. This is what Peter is saying. Since you've been baptized into Christ, you avoid sin. Now you go out and live some good, clean living as Christians. Be holy. For God is holy. That's what he's saying. Don't put yourself at risk. Don't put yourself in places where you shouldn't be. What is the cost of the sin virus? Paul tells us in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, the wages of sin is what? It is death. It is death. Now, the gift of God is eternal life through Christ. But the wages of sin is death. We need to take any and all sicknesses, illnesses, serious. But, brethren, the greatest killer of mankind is sin. That's the greatest killer. That is the greatest killer. Jesus, as we said, is the answer. Now, if there's one here today that has not obeyed the gospel, prayer is, our hope is that you obey the gospel. You'll come and you'll put Christ on in baptism. You'll have your sins washed away. And as Peter instructed in 1 Peter in chapter 3 and 4, you've spent enough of your past life doing the will of Gentiles, living like heathens. You go live faithfully under the Lord. Live loyal unto God. Maybe you've done that and you've strayed and your love and your loyalty and your faith is weak. You need the prayers of the church.